And He's called you. Filled you with the Holy Spirit. Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Put a new song on your heart. Delivered you from cussing, drinking, using drugs. Set you free. Gave you a good mother who was pro-life. Pro-life. And brought you to church every week. Made you go to college when you didn't want to go. Great mothers trust God. Great mothers trust God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Great mothers trust God. I started with 10. Cut it down to 8. I have 5. Don't know if I'm going to get through them. Michael Bird said, reservation at 3:30. You have to leave. Well, amen. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2. Amen. We're going to talk about a woman named, a mother named Jochebed. Jochebed. All kind of ways to say it. Jochebed. I see bed on the end of it, so I say bed. Jochebed trusted in the Lord. She's the model. When I start talking about Jochebed, that'll be the last one I talk about. I'm not going to tell you who the other four are because I may not get there. But I'm going to get to Jochebed because she's the model. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an art of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. Yes, sir. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him.
Yes, sir.
And the daughter of Pharaoh,
come on,
came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside.
Yes, sir.
And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it.
Mm-hmm.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And behold, the babe wept.
Yes.
And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children.
Knew what it was. Yes, sir. Knew what it was.
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Question mark. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother.
The mother.
And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Moses knows something about that water, doesn't he? Amen. Precious Lord.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for women of God.
Amen.
Thank you for mothers that trust God.
Yes.
That protect and guide and love their children.
Yes, sir.
And we ask right now, Father God, we ask right now that you would just be a blessing, Father God, on this Sunday. That although it's Mother's Day, Father God, you will be lifted up.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to praise you today as we thank you for good and godly mothers. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mother's Day. I might say, good mothers. Somebody say bad mothers. Somebody say mediocre mothers. Great mothers. See, Mother's Day means a lot of things to a lot of different people. Some folks say, well, I wasn't a great mother. Some mothers may say, I wasn't a great mother. Some women may say, I could have been better. I made a lot of mistakes. If I had to do this again, I would change and do it differently. I wish I'd have knew more about the Lord when my children were younger. But I believe most mothers would say, I've done the best I could. We're going to talk about some mothers this morning, and I have a few. But motherhood isn't always great. I had a wonderful mother. I loved her dearly, but times weren't always great. Times weren't always wonderful. Things didn't always go great and wonderful. It wasn't just happy, happy, happy all the day. And the one most wonderful woman in here, the most wonderful mother in here would say, well, there's been some ups and downs. Sometimes the downs seems like they're more than the ups. But God is still good. In the book of Ruth, we look at our first mother. And the person of Naomi, Ruth chapter 1. That's Old Testament. Let's see, you go Numbers, you go Deuteronomy, you get the Judges, and the next book after Judges is Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. We find Naomi started off real well.
Real well, yeah.
No, Naomi, not like some of the other mothers that I'm going to talk about today, had a great start. Things got difficult for Naomi, and they will get difficult for every mother in here, but things got difficult for Naomi. There was a famine in the land, and Naomi and her husband and her two boys decided not to wait on God. They thought to seek greener pastures. We have a lot of folks, and the steel mills went down and they shot back toward the south, and there's a lot of Youngstown folks in Atlanta and in Georgia. There's a lot of folks from Youngstown in Georgia struggling right now because things aren't real good in Georgia. And if these oil wells and things pop back up, they may have to return back to Youngstown.
Amen.
Naomi was a picture of a mother who needed to return to God.
Amen.
There are some mothers that have made some poor decisions.
Yes,
and God has disciplined them.
Come on, preacher.
Mara was Naomi's new name. Naomi said, call me Mara.
Yes,
Naomi meant sweetness. Mara meant bitterness. God had to deal with Naomi. He took her two sons and her husband. She was very familiar with death. We have a large contingent of women that have lost children. Tragically. Some of them have lost their children to the streets, amen. Some of them have lost their children to drugs and alcohol. Some of them are receiving cards from prisons from their children. Naomi lost her children, and she had to return to God. Bethlehem had begun to prosper again. This may be a message to someone here who has a friend who, for whatever reason, has decided they are never going to go back to church. Maybe a pastor let them down. Maybe they don't see God in the people that go to church anymore. But for whatever reason, Naomi had to swallow her pride, accept God's rebuke, and return back to serving God. And when Naomi got back to Bethlehem, Bethlehem was better because Naomi came home. If you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, Naomi is mentioned in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior. Naomi lost everything. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 7 about a widow of Nain. And it says that the funeral procession was leaving town. Because all Jewish people were buried outside the city. And so the procession was leaving town, and Jesus was coming from Capernaum into Nain, and he met this funeral procession. Now when life meets death, life wins. See, some of us right now, some of our children are heading to the graveyard. And it is important that we as people of God who have life will meet them. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, touched the casket, and said unto the son, rise. Now, some of us in here who have lost children, and we know sisters and cousins and aunts that have lost children, God may not rise that son on this side, but he may, like Naomi, send you a roof. See, some of us in here need a roof. Someone who will just temper the pain. Just help you ease the pain. Look at Ruth. Now, when Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem, she told Ruth and her sister, Orpha, y'all need to go back to serving your own gods. Because this God I'm serving starts with a capital G. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to serve the God with a capital G. You've seen how I've handled death. You've seen me bury my husband and God still was with me. I buried both of my boys and God still was with me. And I continue to serve God even in the darkest hours. Now she said in verse 15, behold thy sister, talking to Ruth, called Orpah, didn't waste any time. She got out of there. And she said to Ruth, tested Ruth. See, God's going to test you.
Yes, he will.
He's going to see if you got the right stuff.
Come on, man. He's
see, everybody talking about heaven. Ain't going.
Amen.
And she said, behold thy sister, Ruth. Thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. Into her gods, small g. Then she says to Ruth, return thou after thy sister-in-law.
No.
Ruth said no. Oh, no, no, no. Mama and daddy might leave. Cousins may leave. But I'm saying, with you. And Ruth said, this might be some of the greatest stuff in the Bible here. I know some of the women like this. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, capital G, shall be my God. And where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried, the capital L-O-R-D, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that, she was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. She left, speaking unto her. She ain't talking to her about that no more. Ruth sealed the deal. You can't talk about that no more. Has God sent you a roof? Or have you been a roof to somebody who's going through on this Mother's Day? On this Mother's Day. Everybody's not receiving flowers.
Amen.
Everybody's not receiving cards. But God is still good. But God is still good. That's Naomi. That's Naomi. Let's look at one that may not come to your mind right away when you start talking about great mothers. This woman probably not in anyone's top 10, but she made mine. This is the woman who even though circumstances may have been stacked against them, this person may have been, this mother may have been abused and in an abusive relationship and things like that. But she still raised the greatest king in all of Israel, the wisest man of all of Israel. I'm talking about Bathsheba. Somebody say, well, Bathsheba, what kind of mother was she? Well, let me tell you something. Bathsheba grew up in a time where women didn't have rights. And the king, listen, folks, the king God appointed. And the king was only accountable to God. The king wasn't accountable to the people. See, when you hear, go to churches and preach and stay be free, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. That don't mean you can touch me. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I say something wrong, I'm wrong. You need to call me up. Now there's a nice way to do it now. That's why they have offices for the pastor. Yeah. Pastor, can you explain this? You said this. You know. But I'm not in the line of David, where he was king. When David called Bathsheba, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. When David called Bathsheba and inquired about her, Bathsheba didn't really have a lot of options. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're moving to the right again. Listen. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go up forth to battle. That's where David should have been. See, a lot of our men in trouble because they're not out there battling. Listen. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. All the men were at war. David might have been the only man in town. Some other fox in a hen house. None of us men in here that holy. We'd have been walking around too. Tipping. I didn't say that. I'm not stop repeating that to these deacons up here. Amen. Good word though. Old school word. There's another old school word. Tipping. Listen. And it came to pass in the evening time. Oh, the evening time. Danger. And David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. Now, David is the king. Okay, some of y'all been out clubbing and you know, sent a drink over to a table or something, I don't know. Me and David don't know nothing about this. I'm just talking from what y'all just told me. So, amen. Help me, Claire. So, David sent and inquired after the woman.
Amen.
What's the name? Who is it? Okay. So, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? So what the inquirers had told David, she married to a reputable man in the city and one of your most fierce warriors who's out to battle right now, which David probably knew. David had a problem with lust. Most men do. Nothing the Holy Ghost can't control.
Amen.
So we need some Holy Ghost controlled men.
Amen.
And David sent messengers, verse 4, and took her.
That's what he did.
Took her. I'm not going to go crazy with this. But he took her. Against her will. Against her crying and screaming. I'm married. I have a husband. He's at war. He took her. And she came in unto him and he laid with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. She was fertile. David didn't know that. Talk to y'all, these young women in here. She was purified from her uncleanness and she returned unto her house and the woman conceived. And sent and told David and said, I am with child. Oh, you talk about a woman up against it. A woman dealing with some things now. Because basically what David said, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. And that's what a lot of men still do today. I don't want to have nothing to do with you or the child. We're talking about a great woman who trusts in the Lord. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. What David did is went out and got Uriah and brought him home, tried to get him to go sleep with his wife so he can accuse him or blame him for the child. But Uriah was such a great man of God who could not be in pleasure with his wife while his men were out at war. The Bible says in verse 9, slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants.
Yeah.
Talk about integrity. Talk about a man of God. David had him killed. Then Mary, Bathsheba. Listen. Listen. Man, Bathsheba survived all that. She survived all that. How? Great women trust God. Great women trust God. And Bathsheba survived this abusive relationship, overcame many odds. David married her. Guess what? She didn't have a choice to say, I do. If David said, I'm marrying you, you got married. And she made the most of that, and she had a son named Solomon. You want to talk about him? Start reading Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, all the way through. Where do you think she learned all that from? Her mother. Her mother. And I believe that she would taught David a few things about being a man. And God struck their first child, and she had to overcome that. We talk about mothers who overcome. Motherhood ain't great for everybody. Solomon became one of the wisest kings ever. But you want to know something? I thought this was interesting. It's in 2 Kings, and I apologize for not having the scripture. But it says that Bathsheba had four children. She had four children after she had Solomon, and she lost her first one. Four more about David. One named Solomon, Shemua, Shobai. You know what the last child's name was? Nathan. Why would Bathsheba name that child Nathan? Because Nathan was used by God to confront David. Nathan had the audacity to confront David in his sin. And David was so thankful for being put on Straight Street that he had no problem naming his son Nathan. There's more to that story, and that's a beautiful story. And the point I like to make, young ladies in here, don't let the world tell you that you're defeated. Because you may have been in an abusive relationship. Maybe you had a child and it was fatherless. It doesn't matter. You still can raise that child to be great. Yeah. Yes, oh, somebody say, well, you know, I just don't know. I've done the best I could and my child just crazy. Let's speak to that. Let's speak to that lady. Samson. How about Samson's mother? Turn to Judges 13. This is probably the most fascinating story in the Word of God. I was talking to Cindy this morning about Mother's Day. And she said, we've done all we can do. Our kid's crazy. I didn't want to get into my sermon with it. I just said, yeah. We did all we could do. But Samson's mother was the most godly mother. Y'all didn't think about Samson. Samson was a womanizing fool. But Samson's mother was the most godly mother that probably ever lived. Look at Judges chapter 13. Let me get there. Y'all there? Watch this. Now all I have to do is read this because it explains itself, but it speaks to the mother who has done all that she could do.
Amen.
And still, your child is a knucklehead. You ain't guaranteed success. Because you brought your child to church and prayed with him and baptized him and christened him, they still turn out to be crazy. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them unto the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zoar of the family of Danites whose name was Manoah. and his wife was barren and bare not. Now pay attention to what's happening here. Here's a great godly couple who were barren. The woman couldn't have a child. And the angel of the Lord, capitals, appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a child. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and wine, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. Talk to the woman. While she was having this child, God giving her divine instructions what not to do. And she did it. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And guess what? Samson did that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Always on God's ways.
Amen.
Samson truly did.
Yes.
Blinded, he did.
Yes.
Look at verse number 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Husband didn't believe her. Thought she was crazy. Thought she was drinking. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, verse 8, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst sin come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born.
Amen.
How about that? Great instructions coming directly from God in an epiphany. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste, ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, behold, the man have appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, art thou the man that spake unto the woman? And he said, I am. One of my I am statements. Y'all know who he's talking to. This is Jesus Christ here. Giving this family divine instruction. Verse 12, Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we raise the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Listen, folks. The best parents.
Come on.
The best parents in the world can have difficult children. Can have difficult children. Don't have a pity party. God is good. And some of us parents are being blessed. All around. God's been good to us. All the days of our life, grace and mercy have followed you. And then you have a child. That don't want to do right. And you take all God's grace, and you take all God's mercy, and you take all God's favor, and you just say, it don't mean nothing because it's child of mine, and you start investing in that child. I think Teddy Pendergrass had it right. He had it right. He said, I think I better let it go. It looked like another love TKO.
Yeah, I know.
Great mothers, trust God.
Amen.
Great mothers, understand that great mothers can have bad children.
Yes, you can.
Satan will use a child. He'll use a husband. He'll use a brother. He'll use whoever he can to stop you from serving God. To stop you from singing. To stop you from ushering. To stop you from worshiping God.
Yes.
Yes. Worship God.
Yes.
Samson's mother worshiped God.
Come on.
And he was crazy.
Yes.
Even though she had divine instructions. Let me talk about Jesus. Let me talk about this third one. Let's talk about grandmother love.
Yes,
some of us say, oh Lord have mercy. Y'all thought I was going to miss the grandmothers. Listen, grandmothers, y'all have a great role to play. Great role to play. Grandmothers teach your children so they can teach their children. You may not have done it all right. You may have some ups and downs. You may not have been the greatest mother, but you can be a great grandmother. Teach your children how to love their children. Oh, listen. Listen, let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we're going to talk about Eunice and Lois. We have to talk about these two. And then we're going to talk about Jochebed, and then we go on out to eat. Amen. Listen. Here's Lois and thy mother Eunice. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul thanking these grandparents. Listen. Some of you grandparents in here.
Amen.
Some of you young grandparents in here. You play a wonderful, wonderful role in your children's lives.
Amen.
And some of our great, great, great grandchildren will be blessed by great and godly grandmothers.
Come on.
Yeah. I turn on the TV now. I see more women at football games than I see men. Hollering and screaming and raving and waving gold towels.
It is true.
Listen, we got work to do, church. We got work to do. Look at Paul. Thanking these grandparents. Paul is thanking them, and this is speaking to the woman who may be raising a son or a child by themselves.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
Father wasn't there. Timothy's father, they say he was Greek.
Mm.
Didn't care about the things of God. And you may have a father in the house that's gone.
What?
Unsaved, ungodly, don't care about the things of God. Guess what? Spiritually, you're raising a child by yourself. See, they don't have to leave you for another woman to lead you. They can lead you right in the house. Oh, I got the golf league. I got the bowling league. I got the fishing tournament. That's gone all the time. So you're by yourself raising your children. Well, guess what? Satan wants you to think you're by yourself. Oh, I need a man. Listen. You need the Lord.
Amen.
You need the Lord. And you sit down with your child and raise him to the glory of God. And his grandparent don't have to be a grandparent. Could be a godparent. Could be an aunt. Could be an uncle. But you make sure you put your child in the hands of someone who loves the Lord.
Amen.
Who loves the Lord.
There you go.
Some folks I hear and they babies 2 years old know how to cuss. Well, where do you think they learned it from? If grandmama cussing all the time and all her friends that come over the house cussing all the time, well, when the baby call you something, you done brought a man in the house and he calling you something. Listen to Paul talking to these grandparents and his mother. Paul could count on Timothy. He could count on Timothy to do what was right. He could count on Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, I just want to just read this. You don't have to turn it. I'm just going to read it. Paul could count on Timothy. Not to get caught up in all this junk. Not to get caught up in all this foolishness. When Paul had to go to Macedonia, he left Timothy in charge.
Come on.
And he didn't have to worry about Timothy.
That's right. Didn't have to
teaching the church how to run all around and waving at them and teaching them how to speak in tongues and letting women preaching and all that stuff. He knew Timothy was going to stick with the Word of God. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And it's I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, telling Timothy. And when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that teach no other doctrine. He said, Timothy, listen, Timothy, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Timothy did it. Timothy watched Paul get rocks and beaten because of the Word of God. But he, when Paul met his parents, he said, I've been wanting to meet y'all. I've been wanting to meet y'all. Listen to what he says. He said, when I call, 1 number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfaked faith, that word means sincere, real, unwavering, uncompromising faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first. Don't miss that. Which dwelt first. Where? In thy grandmother. Catherine? Dropping that baby off? Put some word in him. Put some word in that baby. 1, 2, 3 years old, put some word in that baby so when that baby grow up.
Amen.
When the word is preached to him, it has something to work with.
Yeah.
God's word won't return, boy.
Yeah.
Put some word in these children. He said, wherefore I put in remembrance that thou, excuse me, I'm going back to verse 5, when I call to remembrance thy unfaithful faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Where did it dwell first? In thy grandmother. Where did the grandmother put it in? She put it in her child. Maybe her child was reckless and wild. And the grandmother spent years and years talking to that adult child, but she finally got through. And she put it in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded. Paul said, I'm persuaded. That word means I am fully confident that in thee also, it's in Timothy also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by what? By the putting on of my hands. Paul could count on Timothy so much that he laid hands on him. He laid hands on him. Paul didn't lay hands on a lot. Let's get to our last subject. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Come on.
I just hope y'all be better. Better mothers. It's never too late.
No.
Better grandmothers.
Come on,
got Samson's mother.
Come on,
Bathsheba. Naomi. Lois and Eunice. Let's look at Jochebed. Jochebed. Speak to some of you young folks in here. Where they at? Oh yeah, Clarice and Jasmine. I don't know your name there, but all you single women in here. Go back to that Exodus chapter 2. Y'all just hang in here. I'm going to write down the text. We're going to shut down. We got some refreshments out there. Mother's Day refreshments. Amen. Amen. What good mothers do. What good mothers do. This is to that new generation of mothers. What good mothers do. Jochebed did. Look at chapter 2 of Exodus. First thing you see. A good mother. Marries right. All y'all know. Missed that. Some of y'all been married 1 or 2. Some of y'all 3. And we ain't baby didn't know what we needed to know. We ain't married right. We married left.
Amen.
It is what it is.
Yes,
we didn't marry right. We didn't know right. Okay. Young girls. Young men. Little Jeremy. Marry right. Have you a list of questions? And then when a man is in the house of Levi, he was a Levite. You a Levite. Jasmine, you a Levite. You from the house of God.
Tell them what it's about.
So you need a brother.
Come on now.
Oh, he's 6'9". He's going to NBA. Well, I'm here to tell you.
Come on.
There's a whole lot of brothers 6'9" ain't going nowhere. Jeremy? Mary Wright? Well, she's going to be a supermodel. She's fine. She's going to be a supermodel. Naomi, the supermodel. Don't know Naomi in the book of Ruth. So you get that supermodel and make sure she know Naomi.
Right.
If she tell you she want to be the next Naomi, you talk about, well, you talking about the one in Ruth? No, I said my name is Naomi, not Ruth. No, no, that ain't what I meant. See, you a child of God. See, some of us didn't have this conversation. See, as children of God, you ought not be attracted to nothing but children of God. You ought not want to run. You ought, I mean, that ought to be on your criteria sheet. Do you know the Lord? A good mother marries right.
Amen.
Look at the second one. No, no, I'm going to look at the first one. Look at the first one again. Because I had something highlighted. 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. I know. Be therefore not unequally yoked. Okay, so little Jill, you've been praying and reading the Bible all your life? All your life, got good and godly parents that love you and protect you and guide you.
Say it again, preacher.
When you get to the age of marrying age, not dating age. Dating ain't in the Bible. Me and Dave gonna find you a husband. Okay. But here's the thing. As a child of God, how can you hold a conversation with a child of Satan? How can the child of God be in a relationship with the child of the devil? Can somebody explain that? Somebody text me that.
Come on,
I can't talk 2 hours on the phone to the devil.
Come on.
Be ye not unequally yoked, because whoever the strongest is going to do the pulling. Let me say that again. Whoever the strongest is going to do the pulling. So you get you a man that likes to drink and cuss and smoke dope. And you just read your daily crumb. What, did you read the daily bread today? No, I ain't read the daily bread today. I've been watching stuff on the internet that's crazy. I've been rapping about killing folks and raping women, and that's what I've been doing all day, and you've been reading the daily crumb. Guess where you going? You get in a relationship with him. You going to hell with him. Ah, y'all don't want to hear that hell talk.
Oh,
everybody going to heaven. Like I say, you know, hell like outdoor park. It's out of business. It's closed. Sign closed. Hell's closed. Ain't nobody going to hell no more. Let these preachers preach it. You know, hell closed. Out of business. Foreclosure sign out there. You know, they didn't took the jackrabbit and the... Then the wildcat, cotton candy machine's all gone. All right, I got to get Rita to dinner. Listen, A good mother. Watch this now. This is important. Let me explain something. Y'all know I'm pro-life, and I'm just pro-life.
Amen.
I ain't moving.
Amen.
Since 1972, Roe v. Wade, over 50 million babies have been aborted. Now, you know there's only 27 million black folks in America. Since 1972, 20 million black folks have been aborted. A good mother chooses life.
Amen.
Let me say that again. A good mother chooses life. Now, verse 15 of Exodus 1. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwife, of which the name of one was Sapphira and the other one was Pearl, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill it. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. What's happening here? Compare this thing with America. Genocide. That's the law. That's a strong word, but I don't have a problem with it. But here's what's happening to our young people. Well, you can't raise no child by yourself. You need to get rid of that child. You can't raise no... A good, God-fearing woman chooses life because they know that they're not going to raise that child by themselves. Because I know Vernon going to take care of me. That's the truth. A good mother chooses life. Despite the edict from Pharaoh, you can do it. You can do it. Good and godly mother. You got a church family here, and we're going to love these babies.
Amen.
And we're going to love them.
Amen. Amen.
A good mother.
Amen.
Has faith in God.
Amen.
Look at Exodus chapter 2. In verse 2 again, and a woman conceived and bear a son, and when she saw him, that was a goodly child. She saw a goodly child. That word goodly means she saw God's favor all over this child.
Yeah.
She saw it, and God saw it. Because a good woman is connected to God.
Yeah.
And she had this, and she knew this was a goodly child.
Yeah.
She knew it was a goodly child. And every baby born is a goodly child.
Yeah.
Is a goodly child. Listen, people. A good mother protects her children.
Oh, come on.
Y'all get that?
Come on.
A good mother.
A good mother
protects her child.
Amen.
She knew they were called. She knew that they wanted to kill him. She knew she had a goodly child.
Mm-hmm.
And she took him. And hid him 3 months. 3 months she protected and hid that child. A good mother will protect her children. Help somebody. Spend time with your children. Spend time with them. You young mothers, spend time with your children. They're more important than the golf league.
Amen.
Or the dart league.
Yes, sir.
Spend time with them. Y'all know some of you, I know we got some visitors in here, and I say this a lot. I work at a correctional institution. And I watch young men come in there that don't even know how to mop a floor.
True.
Don't know how to start a lawnmower.
Amen.
Because they never had a chance. And I'm watching 18, 17, 18-year-old people come into the prison system every day that haven't even had a chance at life.
Amen.
Why? Because fathers and mothers have not spent the time with them.
Amen.
A lot of times we'll leave here on a Wednesday night, it's dark outside, we'll see little babies running across the highway, running across the streets. That was unthinkable when we was coming up, some of us older folks.
Amen.
We knew something about the streetlights come on.
Yeah, come on.
And we'd be running home looking at the streetlights. All my friends had fathers in the house.
Yes, sir. Come on. Come on.
And when the street lights come on, we be running. And I'll be standing there and I'll be saying, Dad, street light on, and they look late. Yeah, man. I've been telling a long time. Me and my dad was close. He spent time with me. And we talked. And he showed me how to be a man. Now we got women that don't know how to put on stockings. Don't even know how to put them on. Protect your children. Nothing wrong with telling them you can't wear that. Too short. Too much showing. Scared of our children. You can't go. That's it. Not your buddy. You just can't go. Got cowards for mothers. Godly mothers and godly people are cowards. See, godly folks have the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God says in Acts 1:8, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive power. Scared. Lock the door. They don't want to act right. Lock the door, take the key, go by. Let God deal with them. We don't like that. Let God deal with them. And you go on your knees and pray. God spares life. Don't kill him. But your home ought to be a sanctuary. Listen. Oh, this is whooping on Pastor too now. Don't y'all think that this is for, just for y'all?
No, no.
Listen, I like this one here. A good mother does the best she can. That's it. A good mother does the best she can. Did she just leave it up to God? She does the best she can. And look at verse number 3. And when she could now longer hide him, when she had done the best she could to hide him, she done the best she could to protect him. And she took for him an ark. Well, she knew something about the ark. She knew about Genesis. She knew about Noah's ark. She knew how to make an ark. And she took for him an ark of bulrushes. Strong branches of tender wood, and then she daubed them with slime like a tar. With slime, excuse me, not slime, like mud, that Nile River mud that they made the roofs with. And she built her ark, mudded around that thing. And then she put the slime on like a tar, like a pitch. And she let it get hard. I believe she took it out there and let it float around, make sure it's working right. I think she put more love in this ark than they did in the Titanic. This baby wasn't going to sink. Oh, mother, she did all she can. It wasn't going to sink, Chester. No, it wasn't going to sink. It wasn't going to sink. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We got any little babies in here? Got that one Catherine holding. He a little bigger. I'm talking about a 3-month-old. You take that one and that burn in half, and then you did the love that it would take, the love and the trust in God that it would take to put that little baby. Yeah. After looking in that baby's eyes and looking at that baby crying and whining, and the love that you have for that baby, the trust in God you must have to put that baby in that little ark and send it down river. Trust in God. Trust in God. She did the best she could. And when you've done the best you can, don't let the world tell you anything different. I've done the best I could with what I was working with. Oh yeah, I know a lot more now at 50 than I did at 20. But you know what? I did the best I could at 20. And I'm going to tell you some things. I want to show you some things. Listen. A good mother plans ahead. She planned ahead. Let me tell y'all something. Look at verse 3 and 4. She put that baby in the river. And look at her sister, Miriam. Miriam was about 15 at this time. And his sister, How about that? Stood far off. You know what? They planned this thing. See, you make plans and then you make your plans. And they make plans. She just didn't put him in the water and push him down the river. She made plans and the sister stood afar off watching. Just watching. Just watching. See what was going to happen. They knew that Pharaoh's daughter was going to be at that river at that time. They knew what time she bathed. This wasn't by happenstance. Some of y'all got faith, chancy faith, luck. I hear folks say, Christian folks, you never say luck.
Amen.
Wish you luck. Who you talking to?
Yeah.
The folks told me that stuff all the time. You know, that's the luck. That's luck what? Luck ain't got nothing to do with it.
Amen.
It's not in this Bible I read.
Come on, preacher.
This wasn't luck. Some folks say, well, it was lucky that the woman was there. That wasn't luck.
No, it wasn't.
This was planned.
Amen.
And she stood and took the ark and put the baby in it and pushed it down the river. And I'd already told Marion, you stay there and watch. Because we know Pharaoh's daughter was a sister.
See what that can.
It was. Pharaoh's daughter. Sound like Pharaoh's daughter didn't agree with what Pharaoh was talking about doing, huh? It's not like God had a hold of Pharaoh's daughter's heart.
Amen.
You read historians say Pharaoh's daughter left. She crossed the Red Sea too. And she left. Her name was Belial. And she left. Listen, as I get ready to close, a good mother plans ahead. I say that, young people. I say it to Jasmine, and y'all need to plan ahead.
Amen.
You need to start planning now. You want to be a good mother.
Yes, sir.
Plan right now when you want to be a good mother. She planned ahead. She planned ahead. And when the child, verse number five, and when the daughter of Pharaoh came and walked to wash herself, and her maids walked along the river, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. And that was Marion's clue. Then said his sister, she was afar off a little while ago. Now she's right on the scene. Shall I go call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. God sometimes gives us more than we could ever imagine.
Amen.
He is just that kind of God. Listen, folks. A good mother surrounds herself with good company. Company that trusts God and know God. Are you a good mother? Do you want to be a better mother? God is good.